Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you want a home in the Central Florida area for any size family to visit Walt Disney World, Universal, or any of the other Orlando attractions, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Hawaii at Aulani, Hilton Head Island, Vero Beach, or any of the other Disney resorts, contact DVCByRequest.com. Again, David's Vacation Club Rentals, DVCRequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter at any of the Disney World resorts, contact Scooter Vacations at ScooterLando.com. And last but not least, our great friends over at American Tourist Travel. If you want to book any Disney travel vacation, contact us at American Tourist Travel. I can help you personally. We also book anywhere else in the world you want to go. So please, guys, if you want to check out any of our sponsors, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. Now we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Have a great day.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, John. Hey, John, pull up a stool.
Ahoy, idiot off the port bow. Oh, yeah, that's me.
What happened? Yeah, so you did your first day of training, huh, kid?
Yeah, got the uniform, according to Doug yesterday.
It's
although
a uniform.
That does not look like a uniform to me, but okay. I got that yesterday. Did a grand tour of the Magic Kingdom. Basically did a tour that people would pay $150 to do.
Well, I'm surprised. There you go, Bob Iger. Start charging your employees for the tour. Charge him $75. Be a good guy.
Yeah, there you go. But, that was fun. But I got on their nerves within 5 minutes. Does anybody know what that? Oh, okay. All right, John. Well, what's over there? Oh, all right. Okay, John.
Yeah, because you care, right?
I'm sorry. I know everything. So, yeah. I felt like Hermione Granger in Harry Potter. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, pick me. I know exactly. I know it. You were the kid in the classroom that has his left hand holding up his right hand because he's getting tired of waving.
Yep. Of course. All right, John. Yeah. So then, halfway through the tour, I'm just standing in the back, nodding my head, and they would look around, nobody else. All right, John. What's the answer?
That's awesome. So did you enjoy it? You get to see anything that you didn't know?
Honestly, no, not really. I mean, a lot of the hidden there was some break rooms that we went to and stuff that I didn't know were there. Some backstage stuff, but as far as the tour of the park and stuff, no, I mean, it's been listening to Disney podcasts for the last 10, 12 years. I mean, I pretty much have learned everything and I've read a lot of books about Disney. So yeah, there's really nothing that we were informed yesterday that we didn't do that I didn't know, but I don't know. It was kind of fun. We got to ride, Little Mermaid with the big group, and then the Ad Lib, which is Adventureland Liberty Square training team, came and got me and a woman who's going to Jungle Cruise, and then we walked around Adventureland Liberty Square for about 3 hours and rode Pirates, Jungle Cruise, and Haunted Mansion, and watched the 3 o'clock parade. So yeah, pretty good day. So.
Getting paid for that, John. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. So.
Yeah, while you were doing that, well, yesterday I was actually having a good time, but Friday, while you're doing that, John, I'm sanding and walking on stilts. I think you got me beat.
Well, not to mention that Thursday I went to a galaxy far, far away. So, it was a pretty good week all in all.
Oh, my God. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, let me say something, because I never get to talk on this show.
Never.
I want to thank everybody for their birthday wishes. I want to thank all you guys. It humbles you when you see how many people actually do reach out to you to wish you a happy birthday between Facebook, Twitter, you know, all those, the social media outlets. It's and friends of the show that have my phone number that were texting me, and it really means a lot to me, my family, everybody. It was a my phone was going off quite a bit on Friday because my birthday was actually on Friday, and I was trying to stay off the phone as much as possible because I was at work, you know what I mean? So
yep.
Break time, I'd respond to like 15 people if you so it was very, very nice. So thanks everybody for their wonderful both birthday wishes. Even you wished me happy birthday, John. I was very impressed.
Yes, yes, even me. Yeah, I went out of my way to remember. So.
Thank you, Johnny. I mean, I would have understood if you forgot. You know, you had training on Saturday. You were at Galaxy's Edge on Thursday. My birthday was sandwiched in between. You could have forgot me.
It was the Oreo sandwich, you know.
Yeah,
so.
But so you went to Galaxy's Edge. We'll get into that. I had a wonderful week as far as last week. I talked about my well problem. And we talked about the – now how I don't know if you listened to the show, John, or whatever.
Occasionally. Yes,
yeah.
I've heard
but we were talking about the difference. You remember. I was talking about the difference of cleaning up, different things you do. Dude, I got so angry. They did a great job. The well's working. But they dug my backyard up, John, and left a mound of dirt piled up that I can't even drive my freaking mower over. The deck will drag on it. They broke a couple cinder blocks from under the ground that – well, nothing to do with the foundation. It had to do with something else. But they left old hoses, old lines, cinder blocks, an old well pump that they actually replaced 8 years ago that they left buried in the ground, apparently, that they put in my backyard now. So literally, I got like 2 days worth of freaking work after paying somebody $1,587 to fix my well that were here for 2.5 hours. Would you be happy about that, John?
And Doug, that's a and you know, other people, you know, like me, I'm not a contractor, so I'm not used to that type of, you know, if somebody did that to me, I'd be upset, but I wouldn't be able to put it into context of myself. You do this type of work or similar to it. So you go to people's houses, you do work on their house. Do you ever leave?
No, dude, never. I lost it so bad. The two of them were sitting in my driveway and I asked the guy twice. I said, so that you, he's telling me this is going to settle into the ground. I'll send you pictures, John. He said, it's going to settle. I said, dude, do I look like a moron to you? Please tell me yes, so I can get really angry. But I said, it ain't going to settle. So I asked him twice. I said, do me a favor. You're paid. Get the hell off my property before we get – this is going to get ugly. Because – and I was so aggravated, John, I still haven't called the company yet. Because I'm at DEFCON 5. I want to be able to –
yeah, you want to calm down enough where you're not going to just yell and scream and holler. You're
exactly.
Gonna be coherent and stuff.
So I had
yeah.
– I was, dude, I was so mad, dude, I was so mad because I don't mind a little bit, dude, but it's like the last 10% is never there. And me and Bob talked about it. I think that's why I love Disney so much, because that's how I feel when I go there. I feel like they always gave me the last 10%. You understand what I'm saying? And the reason we're starting to get angry is because that 10% is dwindling. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah.
And that's where I just can't believe it, dude. I got to go out there and rake and shovel and move dirt. And who wants to do that after paying to have it fixed?
You know, I take that back, Doug. I worked in the tree business for several years, actually, and we did a lot of tree removal. And my nephew actually owned the company, and his thing was always, you leave their yard looking better than it was when you arrived. So
100%,
I mean,
dude.
Yeah, yeah. So we take the tree down, and we'd rake all the limbs up and all that stuff. And then, you know, and I know you've mentioned this before, like if you happen to be up on top of a ladder doing something for somebody and you notice their light bulbs burn out or something corny like that, you offer to replace that while you're up there. Why not? You're up there anyway. So, but yeah, I mean, we would finish stuff. And then, you know, if it happened to be around their trash cans and we knew it was trash day, we'd drag their trash cans out to the corner, you know, just corny stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, we always went out of our way. So yeah, that would upset you mightily. You know, I mean, I can't believe people would leave your yard in that condition. It's
dude,
amazing.
It's horrible. I'm so mad right now. I let it go because I was at DEFCON 5. And dude, I do things like little thing. You know how people own these nice houses where you walk in, they're nice with the nice open foyer, and as soon as you walk in, Then you have the staircase to go up, the big two stories.
Yeah, big one.
There's always a chandelier or something hanging there. You know how many of them I've painted and stuff like that while I'm up there? I'll go to the homeowner. Why don't we do this? Why don't you go out and buy light bulbs and give me a rag, and I will clean this while I'm up here and change it out. So you know what's going to happen. The minute I leave here, two bulbs are going to blow.
And you're going to have to find a 12-foot ladder to get up here to replace it.
Exactly. So. Most homeowners don't have that. Yep. They're not capable of it. And then the chandelier, who can get out there to clean it?
No.
That's why I would tell a lot of customers, if you ain't got the money to hire somebody to come out once every 4 to 6 months, if you're putting this beautiful thing in here with a ton of crystals hanging from it, it's going to get dirty. I would try to make it – see, I would try – I try to tell them to get something that's like streamlined, where they can get like an extension mop, like with a handle on it. Like, not a mop, like a cleaner. You know what I'm talking, like one of those Swiffer things.
Yeah, one that you can extend to
– and it can reach out, and there's nothing going to fall off. It's you know, pretty sturdy where it's cleanable with something like that. If not, you're going to be up there all the – but if I get on a job and I see that stuff, that's what you do, dude. That's what you go into business to – you want to be – I want people calling me. Like I told the story a couple weeks ago. I'm on my job site, and a gentleman a couple weeks ago texted me to tell me how much he loves the basement I remodeled. Out of nowhere, John. I mean, you know how that makes me feel?
Yeah, it's good.
I was so aggravated. So I got that done this week. At least the water's working again. I thank God for that. And then we had a, you know, my big birthday celebration. I got the Disney gift cards, John, so I'm going to be coming to see you soon.
All right.
So I want to come down. You have mom and, you know, everybody knows, don't ask Doug what he wants. My brother-in-law and all, they got me some Disney gift cards, and it was wonderful. Know what else I got, John? My wife bought me an air fryer. Have you tried one of them yet?
No, I think I've seen them. No, I haven't tried them yet, though.
Yeah, she got me one for my birthday. I'm really excited about that.
Have you done anything in it yet?
No, I just got it on Friday, and we had plans to go out. Like yesterday, we were going to go down to my favorite restaurant, which is the Crab Trap in Summers Point, but the day got away from us, family came by and all, so we ended up going back out to the Bonefish yesterday. Because actually, okay. I got a couple Bonefish gift cards. So I said, yo, Brent, let's just go there because it's closer, and it's in town, and everybody's headed to the shore on the weekend, so we just went there and we had a really good time. We had some tuna sashimi.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
And I had, you know, the firecrackers, not the firecracker ship, the bang bang shrimp there, and then I had sockeye salmon, fresh sockeye salmon with some kind of, it was like a Parmesan crust on it. It was awesome, John.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
We had a nice day. But you still had to top me and went to Galaxy's Edge, didn't you?
Hey, I gotta take advantage of this cast member stuff, you know. So have to.
How'd you like that, Johnny?
Well, let's see. We got in. Me and my son went to work with me at the new gig. By the way, you know, my new wine gig, I'm not making nearly the money I did when I'm driving the truck, but I would never have had the ability, the capability to do the type of stuff that I'm doing on the weekdays now. So yeah, this
it
is
frees
a lot
up
more
your schedule
flexible.
A little bit.
Oh yes, a lot. So, he went to work with me for a couple hours, and then we headed over to Galaxy's Edge about noon. And before we left the office, there he got on the phone, got on the Disney app, and grabbed us a fast pass for Star Tours and for Rock and Roller Coaster. So we left. We left the warehouse at 12 o'clock. Got to Disney about 12:25. He'd grabbed the fast passes at about 11:55. We saw the line for Rock and Roller Coaster was, I think, 85 minutes. So we drove from the other side of Orlando, parked, got into the park, went through the fast pass line and rode the ride in the same less amount of time than people who had gotten into the queue when we were making the fast passes.
That's a shame.
So, I mean, people, do your research. Figure out this fast pass system. I mean, you know. So, but, yeah, we rode that. We did Star Tours. And then right after that, it was like 2:15, 2:25, and we could get in at 3 o'clock. We walked over there, and they're like, sure, come on in. So we went in then. And just walking around. You enter right over there on the other side of Baseline Tap House, like everybody kind of thought. There is no big reveal. You walk through a little tunnel area. It is all cut off. The sight lines are cut off. You can't see what you're doing. But once you walk into the area, there's like nothing standing there to surprise you or anything like that. So no big castle or anything, no giant reveal. You walk in and everything's landscaped very nice, but it looks very reminiscent of Pandora without the funky plants. so it's all real foliage, you know, real trees, shrubs. It's very pretty, but it's the problem my son had with it is he couldn't identify it as any one planet. And I kept telling him it's not supposed to be any one planet. It's supposed to be a made up planet, because they knew fanboys like you would criticize if it was Tatooine. It didn't really look like Tatooine. And he was disappointed that it wasn't, you know, closely associated with Tatooine or well, obviously it couldn't be Hoth. That's an ice planet. That wouldn't work very well here.
Well, but, now I wonder, now answer me this, if you know anything, I wonder if this new land's going to be a part of one of the new movies or something to do with on the new Disney Channel, if you follow me, the streaming system, that Star Wars that they're doing there.
I hadn't heard anything about that. I wouldn't be that surprised if it was. But, you know, there's a lot of Star Wars universe out there already. I mean, one of the main character you see in Smuggler's Run is Hondu, and he's a space pirate from Star Wars the Clone Wars, which was the comic animated series on Disney Channel, and he's the main character. So, you know, they kind of touched on that. It would have been maybe a little more interesting if they would have grabbed one of those planets, maybe that Hondu was supposed to be from, and instead of just but I mean, the way they wanted to explain why there's all these aliens from different races and everything all there together was because this is a galactic outpost on a planet that's not associated with any one race of alien. So that was their explanation.
It's the Star Wars melting pot. It's like their Club
Med.
Wars Club Med. Everybody, it's their vacation spot. So everybody goes to vacation and chill. That's why they're not fighting there.
Exactly. But it is landscaped beautifully. And
do they have tall trees there, John, at all?
There was some bigger pine trees and stuff, but nothing huge. No.
Okay. I was going to say, maybe they could teach them how to put a couple over in Toy Story Land.
You know, it was a cloudy day the day we were there, so it wasn't bad. But yeah, it's pretty wide open too. It's going to be extremely hot.
Sunscreen. They better make a deal with a Neutrogena or something for sunscreen over there. Make some big money.
Yeah. You walk in and like I said, there's trees and everything everywhere. There's paths that through all of this, and you don't really see anything except for a bunch of spaceships. There's a bunch of spaceships as soon as you walk in from, I think there was a land speeder, there was an X-Wing, a blue X-Wing, not the classic one that Luke piloted, but still, it was an X-Wing fighter and all of these you can get pictures in front of. I posted a lot of pictures this week, hopefully everybody had a chance
to. Yeah, you did a good job with that.
To look at. So there's all these spaceships all around, and you walk around, as you make another turn, the Black Spire outpost is up on your left-hand side, and that's your corridor of shops. So there's a large amount of shops up there selling all kinds of stuff, and it's kind of a little bit of everything. They have like a alien pet shop and that type of stuff with different stuffed creatures and of course, T-shirts and stuff everywhere. So that was a nice little area. There's a quick service restaurant right there with just a couple of grilled meats. And that's the one where I think we had talked earlier where there's a robot looks like he's turning the spit over a fire. So that's kind of cool. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, that sounds all pretty cool.
Yeah. That was really cool. A nice amount of little shops and stuff there. To the left of that is the restaurant that we ate at. And the only thing I could find on it, it just says Black Spire Outpost. I couldn't find if there's another name for that particular little quick service or what. But I got the Squad Leader Golden Lager beer and it tasted like it was a Sunfish Ale, if anybody's had that on the other side of the park. So it was very similar. And then I had the pot roast, which they had called a shack roast or something like that. But yeah, and it was good. It was served with kind of like a vegetable slaw, which wasn't bad. But Doug, I think you're like me, big old hunk of pot roast. I would prefer mashed potatoes with it, you know.
What did it come with, John?
It was like a vegetable slaw.
No, I don't want that. Come on.
Yeah. Not
pot
with,
roast,
not
mashed
pot roast.
Like, I wouldn't mind a little vegetable slaw and potatoes.
Yes, yes.
I'd be okay with that. But I want mashed potatoes with my, you know what I mean? With roast like that.
Yeah. And it was, actually, the roast was really good. It was tender, it was juicy, well done. And it had a nice gravy with it and everything. But yeah, it was a kind of a warm kale kind of vegetable slaw, which was okay, but a little off-putting. It just didn't blend well, I thought, with the pot roast, but that's me. And then everything at that place was a little eclectic, I guess you would say, a little off of the beaten path of food, which I like, but most guests are not going to like. So I see this place within 6 months having cheeseburgers and chicken fingers, because it was just a little too unique of a menu, I think. You know?
Why couldn't they? Why can't they just add something like that? Because I wouldn't mind. I'm glad. Like, aren't you glad you tried that? Because you couldn't.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
different. You enjoyed it. You'd tweak it a little bit, but it's still a nice different option. Like, I'd prefer that even more during the winter.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Summertime, it was a little, and like I said, it was a gray overcast day. So that was the only reason I could even contemplate eating that.
Plus,
you actually
do a podcast and you want to give some information. You don't want to say, you know what I'm saying, John.
But yeah.
During the winter, that would be a nice little option on the menu. But maybe they add that for the kids. You follow me? And then keep that other stuff for the adults.
Yeah, and over the years, instead of my son's palate getting a little more expansive, he's actually went the other way. I mean, when he was 9, 10 years old, he tried everything. Now he's more of, I don't see anything I want. And if they would have had a cheeseburger or something like that, I could have got him something there. And instead, there was really nothing that he was interested in. So,
well, he's at the teenage age where they're never happy.
Pretty much.
Nah. Yeah, but, so... I remember when my godson, Donnie, the kid never had an attitude. Then all of a sudden, when he was like 17, 18, he started to smell himself a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And my brother straightened him out of that real quick. You know, I mean, it was so weird. Like like I said, I love him like my son. But he went from 16 with this boyish smile and – he's a great kid. Don't get me wrong. I love him to death. But he was always that sweet kid with that smile. Hey, Unc, how you doing? And then all of a sudden, at 18, he has a cocky little crooked lip and a little bit of an attitude coming back out of you. And that, like, it takes you off guard, if you follow me. All of a sudden, it's like, where did that gremlin come from, idiot? Make it stop. You know exactly what I'm talking about, John. All of a sudden, that smile goes crooked when they get 18 for some reason.
Yeah,
you got to straighten it out a little bit.
Yeah. JJ's got a really good attitude. He is picky when it comes to food and stuff. But he won't criticize or, you know, complain about anybody else doing anything. But he won't do it himself. And I'm like, come on, have something to eat. No,
Now, Donnie all of a sudden got the talking back in him. The kid barely ever talked, and now all of a sudden he's cocky motor mouth, the kid. But anyway, go ahead. I digress. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we did all that after we rode Smuggler's Run. So you get into the land, you walk right to the left as soon as you enter the land. Currently is where they're building Rise of the Resistance, the large dark ride, which looks fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to that. So that's right to the left. But if you go straight through the land, past the little shopping center, past the Black Spire Outpost, a little restaurant that I ate at, you come up over a rise, and there, standing in front of you, is a full size Millennium Falcon. That made it worth the whole experience right there, all by itself.
How is that awesome?
Oh my goodness! You can tell by the picture that I posted of me and my son standing in front of it. The looks on our face is just like, oh my God, we're standing in front of the freaking Millennium Falcon. So yeah, it was incredible. It's really, really well done. The entire exterior of the Falcon looks realistic. It looks full size. It looks like you could run right up that ramp and right in there, and Chewbacca would be sitting in the pilot seat. So you can see the pilot's pod and everything, you know, it looks real. Everything looks real. So the ride itself, you wait in line, you pass the Millennium Falcon and the queue starts there. It goes through what looks like is an abandoned area where a smuggler is hiding a whole lot of stuff. You know, it's a warehouse with a whole lot of loot, I guess you would say, hidden in different areas. So you walk past stuff and there's boxes and crates and all kinds of interspace travel stuff that's been stolen from other ships and stuff like that. It's a pirate's den is what it is. But the entire time you're waiting in line, you pass all these windows. So you're looking at the Falcon at one level under, you know, basically underneath it. Then you're looking at maybe the engine's exhaust ports on another level. And then as you get higher, you're finally looking at the top of the Falcon. And they did as good a job on the exterior at the top as they did underneath, as they did in the front. You know, everything looks fantastic. So, you make your way all the way through the queue, and here's where it gets a little confusing. All right, so they take, I would say there's five colors. So let's say there's yellow, brown, blue, green, and orange. I'm not sure if that was the colors, but let's say
I want pink and yellow. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's five colors. I think it was five. And then each color has two pilots, two gunners, and two engineers. So six people in each color.
So it's kind of like the lines kind of like Sorn, front, back, middle, like kind of like it sets you. Remember, they have the different arrows, row one, two, like that's how it separates you. They have kind of set you up like that.
Nope. So that this is how it's set up. So that's what, so there's five colors, six people in each color. So two pilots, two. So what they do is they give you a card. They give you like this little wooden chip. Roughly the size of maybe half of an iPad, a big cell phone. So they give you this chip. It has your position. So me and JJ were both pilots, and your color. We were brown. And so, but nobody's explaining this to you. So after the first time I wrote it, I completely understand it. But at the time, it was, you're just all of a sudden, here you are. All right, here's your chip. So me and him are pilots. What we were supposed to do was go stand with all the browns. So we found, or you're supposed to find, you go into a room, which basically is the size of a good sized bedroom. And so, or yeah, maybe a little bigger. And so there's like maybe 25 or 30 people milling around in this room, just milling around. There's no color coding on the floor or anything like that. And there's six different doors that lead off of this room. And in the middle of the room is the chess table from the interior of the Millennium Falcon, which of course everybody wants a picture at. So I got my picture there too. And what you're supposed to be in is the interior of the Falcon, obviously where the chess room is. So that's where you're supposed to be at this point. So you had walked up what looked like a ramp before this. So now I thought we were supposed to be with the other pilots. So we were looking for the other pilots, but you know, cause I thought maybe we had to go to a pre-show or something like that. But no, what you're supposed to do is look for your other color. So all the browns were supposed to get together. Then a cast member at one point comes in and he goes, yellows, yellows to me. So all the yellows go over there. Then all the greens go over to the green guy calling the greens. And then finally the browns. And so then we figured it out. Okay, so now we got it. So then they take you up another ramp and you actually climb into the cockpit of the Falcon. And the pilots sit in the front row. Me and JJ sat, you know, right across from each other. There's an aisle down the middle, two pilots, and then the gunners, and then the engineer sit in the back.
Now,
so,
real quick, you're talking about the loading. How do you think this ride's going to load when it's a crowded, like?
I have no idea. That's what I'm saying. This is just, it seems so discombobulated, man. It was.
That's what I'm asking, because it sounds like this ride's going to load like eight people an hour, the way you're describing it.
And Doug, you know me, I'm a patient cast member. I mean, I'm used to riding rides and stuff, and this is the most convoluted thing, and it'll be so many first timers. Okay, now me and JJ have done it. We know exactly what to do. But most of these people are not going to be the first timers.
No, and then some people don't know what to do when they know what to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're still wandering sideways, you know?
Yeah.
So go ahead, finish. You were going on.
All right.
I'm sorry.
So you get seated, and you put your safety belt on, And the whole time Hondu is talking to you. So Hondu, yeah, I forgot to mention, and it really isn't even a pre-show. There is no pre-show, which there's a slight little area where you get into a bigger room before you go up the ramp into the Falcon that, first of all, you're not getting into the Falcon outside. You're getting into a simulated Falcon inside a show building. We all know that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you get into a large room, and Hondo the animatronic is above you, and he's talking to you about what your goal is in this attraction. Your goal, you know, like all Disney attractions, you're trying to help somebody out. You're on vacation. Why are you always trying to help somebody out do something? I don't know. Animal Kingdom, you're bringing back a dinosaur from why? I'm on vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so you're helping Chewbacca and Hondu get some stuff from the back of a space. Basically, it's like a space tractor trailer. It's a big truck looking thing. You're trying to zap off the back compartments that he's hauling. So maybe like a train, and you're trying to get the last couple of compartments off of that train. You're trying to smuggle them, and you'll get money for the resistance if you do this.
Okay.
So that's the point of the thing. So, and that animatronic is amazing. It really is very fluid. He turns around. He looks at different people in the audience. His hands and facial movements are quite incredible. So that's really stellar. And he's talking to you the whole time you load into the space pod or the pilot seat. So you get sit into your seat and stuff like that. But while you're loading in there and everybody's learning where the seatbelts is and everything, he's telling you your position. Right pilot, you do this. Left pilot, you do this. Right engineer, you do this. Left engineer. And so everybody's still snapping their seatbelts on and all this. And so by the time we got situated, I had already missed what I was supposed to do. So you kind of have to figure it out on the fly. The ride starts, and it's kind of like Mission Space in that aspect where everybody's got a certain job. The things light up when you're supposed to do them. However, in Mission Space, if you don't do them, computer override kicks in and it still does it. And this one, if you don't do your job, you can crash the Millennium Falcon. You can completely miss getting any of the space pods. Or I think you can always get one. But if the pilot's a bad pilot, and me and JJ, I've played a lot of video games in my life. He's obviously a gaming nut. We still had a little tough time getting adjusted to the controls and doing it. And I think his fear, and what I think is going to be possibly a problem, is if you load with two or three super geeks who have done this a million times, and you're that one guy who maybe with your, you know, 8-year-old kid who is not accustomed to playing games, and he messes up, I don't want these super geek guys turning around and criticizing my son for not doing what he was supposed to be doing. You know?
No, exactly. Or let's do it the other way around. I think of the two jerks, the people that don't put their carts away, the same two morons get on that Falcon ride and decide we're going to screw it up for everybody.
Yes. Yes. Yep. That's a possibility. If it was me, JJ, Lisa, you, Brenda, and Judith, six people. Okay, great.
What about We'd Tommy? Judith's not going to be happy time. Without Tommy.
Well, all right.
I'm so, just kidding, guys.
We can do all couples. How about that? There you go. We'll leave JJ back on the plane.
No, we don't have to leave JJ. There's seven, so he could sit on your lap, John.
I don't think that.
Anyway, that's funny. But anyway, it would be a great time, right?
Yes, absolutely. If you have six people, it would be spectacular. If you have six people who all happen to be pretty good at video games and have wrote it before, you're going to have a good time. If you have six people that are all okay with the, you know, not doing great, you're going to have a good time. But boy, there's going to be some mixed bags in there, and people are going to get upset.
I just got a text from Carmen and Brian and Bob and Mary and Dennis and Lisa, and they're all mad because they can't – Dennis and Sue, because they're not on the ride with us.
They can go on the other one, and we can compete against them.
There you go. But anyway, I know exactly what you're saying, because I was thinking that when the ride was being announced, I'm like, I'm going to get on the ride with the moron that's going to try to mess it up for everybody else. And my wife's going to be digging the claws into my leg as we're leaving not to say something to him.
Yep.
not the kid version, but you know, the older teen, the younger adult, you know, the person.
Well, let me see how many times I can crash this.
Exactly, just to do it. So that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, so me as the right pilot, I was supposed to control up and down and hyperdrive. And then JJ was supposed to control side to side. And your goal is to follow the space train through different planets and through cities on planets and stuff like that. And as you get, as the pilots do a good job, well, we did okay. The gunners are supposed to launch their rockets and hit the train and knock the stuff off so that we can pick it up and collect them. We managed to collect one, but I think, like I said, I think that's because everybody at least gets one. I think you can get up to like five or something. So, no, we did not do very well.
No.
And, if you just literally want to ride the ride and see the stuff, I think engineer is probably the best position. That's the one where you actually just repair stuff. So you can hit a couple of buttons and stuff like that. I think my position was actually the best because I think three times the hyperdrive, which actually looks like the hyperdrive in Star Wars, would light up and you got to pull that to send you into, flight light speed. Okay. So that was spectacular. So I mean, that's probably the coolest element of everything. The graphics are great. You're in the pilot seat, or you know, in that little pod that sticks out on the Falcon. So you look all around. It looks very, very good. The whole canopy is a screen where you see where you're in space and stuff. So
motion sickness. How bad would it be, you think?
It's very smooth. It's not herky jerky, but it does do a lot of moving.
Is it smoother than Flight of Passage?
No, I would say it's about the same.
Okay.
It's smooth like that, as opposed to Star Tours, which is very herky jerky, where you go, you know, you're going one way and then all of a sudden you're jerked back to the other direction.
Dude, Star Tours, I gotta have a Dramamine and a ginger ale, and I'm good, Aaron, you know, to do that.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you know, it's really hard to say because some people are affected differently by different things. But I found it very smooth, and I didn't have any problem at all. The only thing that bothers me anymore, though, really is spinning. So, but no, that it was.
Wait, you have problems on bicycles?
I'm
hysterical, ain't I?
You're a riot.
I knew you go to a spinning class twice a week. You slowed down on that, huh? But anyway, but you enjoyed it. Now, the big question is, first of all, you did enjoy that lager you had, John? Would I like that lager?
Yeah, you'd like it.
Okay. Second of all, okay, the wonderful world, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, or Galaxy's Edge, what do you think's done better so far?
Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it isn't as good as that, right? You don't think so?
There's not that element of
immersive,
like I said. Yeah, and it's not as immersive. Granted, while you're in there, it you don't see other parts of the park and stuff like that, but because there is no definable area, a planet that you can actually be familiar with and stuff like that. Like if it was Tatooine, we could have walked around Mos Eisley and you would have felt like you're actually in Mos Eisley. Here you feel like you're at a planet that you don't know that much about. And so, you know, at Wizarding World of Harry Potter, when you go into Diagon Alley, it actually feels like you're at Diagon Alley. It really does. But yeah, I didn't get that impression. Believe me, seeing the Millennium Falcon is amazing, but it's not as immersive as Harry Potter is.
No. Oh. So. As you said, you gave it an 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, not to cut you off. I'll probably appreciate it more because I don't know as much. So it'll probably be as impressive to me because I don't know a lot about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be like, I am Wizard Pandora. The Pandora, I just wish was bigger. I'm too confined in there.
The Star Wars, I don't think we're going to have that big of a problem. It is a huge land. I would honestly say it's 3 to 4 times the size of Pandora, at least 2 to 3 size.
Yeah, because, dude, where they used to have lights, camera, action, motorcade was bigger than what Pandora is.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the back lot area, you know what I'm saying, is bigger than Pandora. You know, so I don't know. I can't wait to see it, but I knew you were excited, but you also, that little 2% hurt your feelings a little bit.
a little disappointed. JJ was more disappointed with the atmosphere, the undefinable planet that we're on, than I was. I was okay with it. I understand their idea. And the problem they ran into with Harry Potter, with Diagon Alley, is with the fanboys. You know, well, what time era is this supposed to be from? Is this before Voldemort's all the way back, or is it after he's back? Or, you know, and that's what you're going to run into if they did Tatooine.
Is that how they talk, John?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
okay, I was just curious. I don't know the language as good as you. I'm just curious. The Star Wars geek boy.
Well, and Doug, I mean, to you, I'm a Star Wars geek boy, but to Star Wars geek boys, I'm like rookie.
You're a novice. You know? You're a novice. So,
yeah, because there's people that, I mean, they watch all animated series. They've seen every movie. Like, I've seen all the movies, of course, but not nearly as much. And I don't hold them to that standard that other people will. So,
I used to have a good friend of mine, Michael. He was so into it, dude. When the first one came out, it was like, it was his Ten Commandments, if you follow me. It was like, it was everything to him. And I remember his house, he moved away and then came back, and he lived with us for a couple months while his house was being, what happened is they had a house here and one in Texas where he had to move, and they came back, and the people still had 2 months left to rent it. So they stayed with us while they were getting the people out of the place they rented. And I remember he would start talking Star Wars, and I'd say to him, Mike, could you save this story for tonight when we go to bed and you can tell me all about it? So you can put me to sleep, man. Because he'd be like, we were like, I don't know, 14, 15, whatever, whatever, how old we were. And he would go on. And then his little brother, Steven, would be chirping in about it. I'd be like, make it stop. Did you watch the game this weekend at all? Yo, but. I'm glad you had a good time, brother.
Well, the ride was, like I said, I'd give the ride about an 8 out of 10. The land, I'd give about an 8 out of 10. What I would probably give a 10 out of 10 is the droid factory.
that was awesome.
Yes, yes. And if we would have got one that day, we would have got 10% off. But cast member discount's not going to be available on this for quite a while. But, yeah, they're $100. It's a remote control little... You can either make an R2 unit, or you can make the BB-8, the new round ball guy from the new movie. You can make that type of unit, and you pick every piece of it that you can, or that is available from a giant conveyor belt of parts that's just running around to the back of the shop, and then it comes back full of new pieces. So there's all these pieces on there constantly of whatever you want. You can put different legs on it, different canisters, different heads or the tops, all kinds of things. So that was the coolest. And yeah, it's an actual RC unit that you can make. And then it has a chip. You can either make it a Imperial one, or you can make it a Resistance one. And when you, whichever one you pick, when you take it to that section of the land, it will interact with things in that land.
For and all then of our non-Star Wars geeks, who's the good guy and who's the bad guy, Johnny?
I guess according to them, the good guys are the Resistance and the bad guys are the Imperials.
Okay.
So like if you make a Resistance one, when you take it into the Imperial section of Galaxy's Edge, the robot's going to get scared, make all these scared noises and stuff like that. And they also had little backpacks that you can buy just to carry the unit in and stuff like that. So that was really, really cool. And actually, that's the one thing that JJ was fascinated with. He liked that a lot. It was really cool. They have your
maybe
favorite
Christmas time, John.
Yeah, exactly. They have your favorite little addition in there. You know, your little trolley at the bakery shop that they used to have with all your treats running around on top of it up at the ceiling.
So they have... the money grubbing Bob Iger to save some money took it from my candy store and put it over there, right? He reused it.
Instead of candy on it, it's got all these full-size robot parts.
Yeah,
so you can see what Yep, it looks like a real full-size droid's parts running around on top. It's really, really cool. So,
not to cut you off now, but I will. You have to admit, I'm not a crybaby about that. Don't you think that they should have fixed that, John?
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's a travesty that that's down. I mean, that was like, that's like one of the, like, and no reason not to keep that running except for monetary, in my opinion. What other reason would it be, John?
I have no idea.
I mean, that just really, I'll say it, pisses me off every time I go in there that it's not running. I love that, dude. And the reason being is that's the first thing that me and Brenda would do even before we looked at the castle. We would go right into the candy shop. Then we'd come out of the candy shop and take the look at the castle, if you follow me. That was like our routine. And I would go in and look at those conveyor belts. And every time I went in there, I felt like Charlie from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory watching those go around. They were my Oompa Loompas, John.
Yep.
So it really aggravates me. But going back to Star Wars Land, we'll go back there. But I wouldn't mind. I think an R2-D2 would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, a little unit, and you roll it around outside and stuff like that. I don't know actually what you do with it once you get it back home.
I'd try to put a cup holder on the top, and maybe I can make it go get me beer.
Yep, yep, that would be the point. but, yeah, I mean, I think just doing the experience would be – I mean, that's probably – half of the value of it there yourself is just making it up. So it would be a lot of fun. I didn't even see the place where you can make your own lightsaber, but that's $200. And then the other restaurant there is Oga's Canteen, and that's the one that everybody wanted to get into. That's the one that you had to have made stayed up until midnight as a cast member to be able to sign up for. So we didn't get in there, but that's all right.
Did you see inside, or you couldn't even see in there?
No, you couldn't even walk in there if you didn't have that on your phone to allow you to. So
that's pretty messed up.
But, well, I mean, there were so many people there. And honestly, Doug, if I had got my reservation to eat there, I want to be able to eat. I don't want people peering around me trying to look at stuff. So I'm not mad. You know,
no,
so.
I hear you. It's just a shame you couldn't see it. Was there a lot of people there that day?
No, we waited 25 minutes for the ride.
That's empty compared to what it normally
is. Yes, yeah, I've got some pictures of most of the queue we waited through. And honestly, the 25 minutes was probably a lot of other people going, what? Colors? What? that was the problem, I think, is this is not a streamlined process. Maybe they need to have somebody, you need to have a cast member at some point explaining to you exactly what it is. Okay, you're going to get a color, you're going to get a job. You stay with your other colors, or with the same colors. So, but
yeah, I'm anxious to see how that's going to flow.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess this is the same way they do it in Disneyland, so I'd be interested to see how it's working out there. So.
Now, have you gotten over to Harry Potter Land to get on the new cycle, that cycle ride?
No, we ended up with SeaWorld annual passes this past year instead of Universal. We're debating getting Universal sometime this fall, though.
Okay. So I was just curious if you'd got to do that yet. I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, people say that's a absolutely fantastic ride. So, yeah, that's Lisa wants to do that, and she wants to do. They've redone Jurassic Park, the water ride over there, and she really wants to do that one too. So,
and you guys are so freaking lucky living down there. Me and Brenda were talking about it the other day. We're getting closer and closer, John.
So, yeah, some point, your taxes are going to get to a point. You know, why in the heck am I living in this state,
dude? Speaking of that, I'm waiting for the new bill to come in. This is when they go up every year. So, and they're always late with it, too. They can't even get your tax update on time. Because they're due on the 1st, and now they extend it to the end of the month. Like, we don't even have a tax bill in yet.
Yep.
But, no, it's scary. Our buddy Dave from the Mickey Dudes moved down there. You might get to see him more often, John.
Yeah, I saw that. So, yeah.
So congratulations to you, Dave. And he's doing a lot with Give Kids the World, so my hat's off to you, Dave. You know.
Yeah, it seems like he does spend an awful lot of time over there. So, God bless him. I mean, it's a difficult situation. Do you want to hear the story that the cast member told us yesterday about why the Magic Kingdom is so important?
So important?
Yeah, so important.
Because it makes Bob so much money.
This wasn't necessarily that type of story.
Okay, go ahead. Let me get her a cup of tea here.
She was a she made the little boys and little girls into pirates over at Pirates of the Caribbean. So that was her job. Now she moved over to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and she's a fairy godmother. But for 7 years she had done the pirates thing, and she said one day there was a cast member standing in front of her of the register at Pirates of the Caribbean, saw a family come through, mother, father, three girls, and one little boy in the wheelchair, and they were all celebrating. They were celebrating his continued fight against his terminal illness. And so they were there to have a good time. The cast member started to talk to him, arranged, called over, got him in, found out that he's a giant Pirates fan. You know, he's like 11, got him into the little thing to get done as a pirate. They comped that. So they got him all dressed up as a pirate and stuff like that. One of the attendants over there, they always ask the little boys, you know, do you like girls and all this type of stuff, and tease him a little bit. And they asked him if he was ever going to get married and all that type of stuff. And he said, well, I'll marry you. And then kind of flirting with a little bit with a teenage girl that was doing his makeup. And, you know, oh, okay. And so they did a little mock ceremony, and she became his pirate wife for the day and stuff like that. And I think her name was Blakely or something like that. And so anyhow, they even called and arranged a private meet and greet with Jack Sparrow. I know, your favorite character.
I'd like to have a meet and greet with the real one.
I'm sure you would. But he got the picture all done up and everything like that. And so basically made this kid's vacation. And he wasn't there on the Make-A-Wish or anything like that. They had done this all themselves. They had, you know... I guess because maybe they had a little bit of money, they didn't necessarily feel to have to give kids the world and make a wish and that type of stuff. But anyhow, but that's why they were there, was to celebrate his life and stuff. And they had a great time with him and stuff like that. And then it was about 6 months later, the father came back by himself and asked the Blakely girl, who was supposed to be the pirate wife, told her that he was losing his fight. And that to film a goodbye message, if she had come down purposely to have her film a goodbye message for her son. And so that's the story she told us right before we left the class. And I was like, yeah. So
what's she trying to do? Depress you all?
No, I mean, to that family, there is nothing more important than mm-hmm. that time they got to spend at Disney World. You know, so.
No, it's to so many people, it's special, and it's, again, it's special to us. I mean, I not to compare it to that, but it's the last vacation I did with my father, and, you know, taking mom down there so many years, and there's so many memories that I have that I love it so much, and the reason I'm getting so angry and upset is because I feel like I'm getting scared that it might be out of my reach soon, the way they're going with numbers and price. It's crazy, dude.
The prices are getting to a point where I've heard stuff that the numbers are down, but they are still making the money. So as long as they're still in the profit, I don't think they're going to care a whole lot.
No, dude, it's so hard. And it's like I'm finding it hard on my job sites because so many guys go. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like they see me and everybody comes talk to me because I have a couple Disney stickers on my hard hat. You know what I'm saying? I'm the Disney guy. And now they're all coming to me, and now I'm the complaints department of all the guys I've known over the years about the prices, John. I mean, I don't get in a conversation with people now, even guys. I have four or five friends that are DVC owners that are complaining. My buddy Joey, who just went down, he went down for his wedding anniversary. And he said this is they've gone in years past because they're DVC owners, the whole nine yards, and he said they didn't do a darn thing for them. Like, they barely even wished them happy anniversary. He said they're expecting to be taken care of like they were before. He said there's something going on where it's not his same Disney. And his wife actually worked for – you understand what I'm saying? She's – you know, they're Disney from when she was a baby. The daughter's name, you know, Briar Rose, you know? I mean, it's – you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's – It's just very, very sad with the way they're doing some stuff. And it's the reason I get so angry, because it is so special to me, and it's making me scared. In a few years, I won't be out of four. I mean, we plan on moving down there and blah blah blah, but it's getting harder and harder every year, John, to just justify it.
Yeah, it's an expensive trip. There's no doubt about that.
And then I'll get people, like friends of the show, like our lovely friend Pat. He texts me happy birthday the whole nine yards, and I know he's the one that defends him as much or more. He defends him more than I. You know what I'm saying? He's in love with the place, which he should be. But you compare it to other vacations, and I book vacations. It used to be, I told you before, I used to go to everybody. It's cheaper than going to the shore for the week. Well, I can no longer say that. I really can't. It's there now. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I'm just glad it's you got the experience of enjoying that, and I think you're gonna get to interact with kids more on Pirates than you did on the other rides. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll also, as many friends of the show that I've ran into in Animal Kingdom, I think I'll run into even more over in Pirates. What do you think?
I hope so, Johnny, because we have some great friends, and it's been nice to see all the ones that have been coming out.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm excited for you, John. I know and you should get more hours over there.
Yeah, I should. Based on the parties and stuff, I've got like 5 days in a row. I'm starting at 6:30. Some early morning shifts.
Yeah, those parties. Yeah, they're all the extra magic hours, right? They're free, right, John?
Or are they charged parties?
Yeah.
Notice
how years ago you used to say the morning extra magic hours. Now it's all the morning and late parties.
Yep.
So we got to get into some news, because you don't have much longer, do you, John? Because you have to go to play at the Magic Kingdom today.
Yep. I got work today. So
overall, you had a great time. I'm shocked that you liked Harry Potter Land better, but I'm glad you're being honest.
Yeah, and I mean, believe me, I like both worlds and stuff like that. And I would say that just the. And, you know, part of this might also be the cast member previews. There was one meet and greet with Chewbacca rolling around a little bit, and I think I saw Rey out. But there was, I had heard there's going to be aliens walking around and all that type of stuff, and I didn't see any of that. So, and there was no live entertainment of any sort, you know, no musicians, anything like that. Maybe inside of Uga's canteen, but that's stuff that may come out once, you know, everybody's allowed inside. So,
well, hopefully, because that's one of the other things we talked about that we missed too at Hollywood Studios. Like, when you used to go in a lot of the parks, but like in Hollywood Studios, you would have streetmosphere everywhere. Like, you're walking down Main Street, you'd have the producers with the microphone, with the cone thing that you
megaphone.
Would talk, megaphone.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't even like, it was the old school kind with, there was no power to it. It was just the you know what I'm saying?
Sound
the cone.
Or whatever.
Yeah, the sound
yeah.
cone. But anyway, that used to make Hollywood Studios what it was, and when the army men march around or whatever. So maybe if they have all the weird characters and the stormtroopers and everything else moving around, like, they should be out all day long. Like, you should be walking through the crowd, and they should be just walking amongst you. They need those characters, I think, to put you into the whole land.
There was stormtroopers, and, you know, they a couple of weeks ago, they did the last march of the 501st, or the Legion that used to march at Hollywood Studios. So I think they're practicing probably marching through the land. So that will set up everything. And if there's, you know, some people dressed up as different aliens and stuff like that, I think that'll set it up a little bit too, maybe a little more of an immersive thing. That's what I would say about Diagon Alley. There's usually a musical group playing, performing. There's they do these other things. It's all corny Harry Pottery stuff, but it's still live entertainment. You know what I mean? So, and that's an element that I felt was kind of missing from Star Wars right now. So.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they'll tweak it and geek it and make it better. Hopefully something they don't tweak, they don't geek, and they get rid of is Primeval World, the Animal Kingdom, is still closed.
I know that breaks your heart.
Yeah, it's closed in June. It was supposed to be a short closing. Now it's not going to be open till late September. I hope the freaking thing never opens again. I hate that ride, dude.
I dislike the entire area, so.
Yeah. I mean, that ride should be down on out on the boardwalk somewhere. It doesn't fit in
Yeah.
Disney World. I'm sorry. It really doesn't. I mean, it's a hunk of junk in my opinion.
No, it's a, and it's a, what do they call them, off the shelf roller coaster. I mean, there's probably seven of those, or at least seven of them around the country, so.
And you got your fall pass holder giveaway, didn't you, John? I thought I seen pictures of them. Your magnets?
No, I didn't get the fall one yet.
Okay. Well, I seen the pictures. I thought you did already. Thought maybe you got them ahead of time or something. Okay, John, you want to read the fall 2019 pass holder giveaways?
Beginning August 29th, annual pass holders can meet. Oh, well, that's a character meet and greet. Can meet Winnie the Pooh at Christopher Robin's Room in the United Kingdom at Epcot, while over at Animal Kingdom, pass holders can meet Baloo as well as Tarzan and Jane. The Magnates, Walt Disney World annual pass holders visiting the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, are eligible to receive a complimentary Chef Minnie Magnet, 29th through October 14th, and a Chef Remy Magnet, October 15th to November 23rd. That's the one I'll be after. On the annual pass holder's fourth visit to the festival, they can also receive a complimentary Chef Minnie wooden coaster set. Each of these pass holder exclusive items can be picked up at Mouse Gear or Disney Traders.
Yeah, as long as Mouse Gear stays open.
Pass holders visiting Animal Kingdom can pick up a complimentary Simba magnet starting August 29th at Discovery Trading Company. I'll have to get that one too. When annual pass holders purchase a $100 Disney gift card, they also receive a $10 digital bonus to use at select table service restaurants at Epcot, including Akershus Royal Banquet Hall, Beer Garden, Coral Reef Restaurant, Garden Grill Restaurant, Le Cellier Steakhouse, Rose and Crown Pub and Dining Room, and pass holders will still receive a 10% discount at these dining locations. The gift card can be purchased at Mouse Gear, Disney Traders, the Bridge Kiosk, or Port of Entry. So.
Well, John, I mean, this is the reason why your pass holder prices have gone up so much. They're giving out these free wooden coasters.
And you get magnets. Yay! I don't know, the a gift card's not a bad deal though. If I'm out there and I'm planning for a vacation in May next year, and I pick up $100 one, I mean, that's better than putting it into savings, because I'll spend it out of savings, and then I could go ahead and get a 10% or a $10 coupon for any of those restaurants. That's not bad.
Nah,
So,
it's something.
yeah.
Nah, it's they got to justify these price hikes somehow, John.
It's probably paying me, Doug.
No, yeah, you were already in the budget, dude. Go read that article by Abigail Disney. Did you read that yet?
Yeah, I read part of it.
She none too happy. House of Blues Orlando launching Bayou Brunch. If it's as good as the breakfast on the Sunday, the gospel breakfast, I'm sure that this will be a big hit.
Yeah, that gospel breakfast is real popular, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Dave was actually there the other day, which I was pretty jealous. He was watching Slippery When Wet, the Bon Jovi tribute band.
Okay.
They were really good, dude.
Yeah, they used to be at the Summer Festival, and the last time I tried to catch them, I missed it, so.
Yeah, they're really good. I'm a super duper Bon Jovi fan. He's one of the few guys on this planet, you know. His good looks are almost, as mine. If I could only sing, John, I could have took him down.
Yep, you'd be there with him.
Yeah, but no, he grew up. I seen him in the area before he was even big. He used to sing at local club around here, the Galaxy. Many, many moons ago, John. Anyway, House of Blues Orlando at Disney Springs is launching a Bayou Brunch, a new weekend brunch buffet event every Saturday and Sunday. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The new Bayou Brunch will feature Southern-inspired menu items like biscuits and gravy, freshly made omelets, shrimp and crawfish, entouffee or etouffee, and more, as well as bottomless brunch beverages and build your own old-fashioned bar. Additionally, there will be live music from Brown Bag Brass Band, who will entertain guests with Dixieland Jazz and Brass Band Selection. Bio Brunch is priced at $33. Now, that's not bad.
No, that isn't. That's not bad at all.
I mean, did they know they're at Disney?
I'm looking at that, Doug, and then I'm looking down here at the bottom, not to skip ahead, but Bottomless Bloody Marys for $15.
Yeah. did Bob Iger vet this? Does he know this happens on his property?
I'm thinking me and Lisa may have to go check this out.
Beginning yesterday, August 3rd, taking place every Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Disney Dining Plan is one entitlement. That's not bad either, John.
No.
And
what's
discount,
going on here?
And they also accept the discounts for annual pass holders, DVC members, and cast members, John.
I think me and Lisa are definitely going to have to go check this out.
Dude, there has to be a typo or something going on with this.
Something's wrong, Doug.
I mean, there really is that, John.
Is that supposed to be 53 and not 33? Is that what we're looking at? I don't know.
The Bayou Brunch feature menu items. Salad. Southern salad, Caesar salad, fresh fruit, peel and eat shrimp, John. They must be farm raised. They have to knock off shrimp or something. They're like tofu shrimp. Breakfast, omelet station, scrambled eggs, candied bacon, andouille sausage, biscuits and gravy, chicken and waffles. Lunch, chicken tacos, pork tacos, shrimp and crawfish, and etouffee, jalapeno and cheese cornbread, carving station with ham, roast beef, mashed potatoes with gravy, seasonal vegetables, dessert, bourbon bread pudding, and assorted desserts, drink special. Build your own fashion with bourbon, bitters, and garnish bar, $12 each. Bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys for $15. Happy hour pricing on select beer, wine, and cocktails. John, this sounds incredible.
That sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds amazing. And it's funny because Lisa's favorite item on this menu used to be the crawfish etouffee at the regular restaurant, and they took it off. And now to see it here on an all-you-can-eat and then with some carved ham and roast beef on top of it, heck, that sounds fantastic.
Sounds like they're going to be saying in a few months, here comes the Peters family again.
Hey, John and Lisa, welcome back.
You doing?
And I love a Bloody Mary, so, man. Dude,
I'm excited. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Dude, I can see it in 10 years. We're all going to be living at the Springs, calling it our Disney World.
And get up and head over there for brunch. Yeah, sit there for an hour and a half.
Did you see, want to read the one about the new restaurant coming to the Swan and Dolphin?
New quick service dining and drink venues coming to Dolphin and Swan Resort. Two new quick service food and drink venues are coming to the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort in the next few months. A new grab-and-go dining location serving coffee, ready-made sandwiches, and snacks will debut in late summer, followed by a new frozen drink counter in the fall. Both will be located in the Swan lobby. The new grab-and-go Java will feature sweet and savory breakfast options, as well as sandwiches, wraps, salads, and desserts throughout the day. Then you will also serve a variety of teas, espressos, frappes, and coffees, including a new special nitro brew, cold brewed with liquid nitrogen, as well as wines, beer, juices, and more. The demand for quick food and drink options has continued to grow among our guests, said the resort's director of food and beverage, Luciano Sperduto. Whether they're headed to the theme parks for the day or are in and out of meetings, these two new options will give guests delicious ways to stay energized while they're on the go. The additions are among the latest food and beverage changes at the resort following the recent redesign and new menu launch at Shula Steakhouse earlier this year, and the additions of the Grab and Go Fuel and Finn's Lounge at the Dolphin in 2017.
Swan and Dolphin are two good resorts, dude.
All I've ever done there is walk through the lobbies and spent hours and hours and hours through my life delivering products to the back doors. So, yes, I know the back of the Dolphin very, very well.
Yeah, well, it's really nice in there, John. It might be another one of the places I have to start staying at because I get better rates there than at Disney. Disney resorts.
And you get the same benefits. So.
Yeah.
And you get shade while you're waiting for the boat.
100%. There you go. A lot of shade. That's the best boat dock on property.
I think so.
I'll let you read this one. I'll go to the chicken guy one, being we're speaking of food, because you were praising the chicken guy the other day.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. Disney Springs Restaurant Chicken Guy has been awarded a 2019 Shop Gold Award for signage and graphics. On June 26th, the Shop Association Annual Store Design Award winners were announced at a ceremony held at the Global Shop Conference in Chicago. The awards judge retail concepts on design, originality in the use of space and materials, and quality of concept execution. Among the winners announced that evening was Architecture Plus International, Inc., winning Gold Fast Casual Restaurant and Graphics Awards for Chicken Guy at Disney Springs. Chicken Guy, a collaboration between celebrity chef Guy Fieri and restaurateur Robert Earl, was honored for design excellence and execution. The 1,800 square feet Fast Casual Restaurant is the first location with plans for additional locations across the country, including opening in Miami later this summer at Aventura Mall. When designing the location, the AP team was tasked with developing a compelling environment that embodies Guy Fieri's edgy and fun personality. The space is a unique half-crescent shape and is located in the highly trafficked area of Disney Springs, so it receives large numbers of lunch and dinnertime guests. Rough brick walls and corrugated tin ceilings provide an edgy urban industrial backdrop to colorful graphics. Simple illustration-style graphics throughout the restaurant can be described as in-your-face and playful, on brand with Fieri's famous personality. Guy meets visitors at a selfie wall in the queue area, and the restaurant are expressed via graphics in the dining room.
So you really enjoyed that, didn't you, John?
It had really nothing to do with the graphics and stuff, but yeah, I liked the food. So I guess it was a pretty cool looking place, but I was there for the food, not necessarily to care about the graphics. But I found everything there really, really tasty, fresh. And you know how chicken you can tell when it's been frozen before.
Yeah.
You could tell this had not been frozen. So it was definitely fresh.
You've eaten at homecoming too, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Whose chicken you like better?
Probably homecoming. Just because that was a little more classic. And as a, you know, if I had my choice to actually just go and eat at one, I would pick homecoming because that's more of a sit down and relax environment. No,
but this was pretty damn close, though.
This was really good for lunch. Absolutely. Or late night snack or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really good. So.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, John. Now, have you heard anything about this? More concept art of the new holiday decor coming to Animal Kingdom? Were you guys talking about that while you're working there?
No, I mean, they mentioned it. We had talked about it a couple of weeks ago on the show, but that's about all I've heard about it. I hadn't seen anything, nobody planning anything backstage or anything yet over there. So.
Yeah. You want to read that one?
Sure. If it loads for me.
Oh, I got it. Mine wasn't loaded. I thought maybe. More concept of the art of the new holiday decor coming to the Animal Kingdom, Discovery Island. I'll tell you what. I do love hanging out there to watch the Tree of Life in that area. Now, I wish they... Now, tell me if you don't think they need to do this. I wish they'd put a couple more benches there and maybe... I think they should put a beer cart or two in that area, refreshment somewhere right in there.
I don't think that'd be a bad option. I wish there was a way they could roll almost like bleachers in and out or something, you know, because like you said, a couple of seats there would be nice. But yeah, I'm pretty sure we're on the same page with this. We enjoy this more than we enjoy River's Light.
So. 100%, dude. I love that. I'm looking, I'm curious what they're going to do if they put any Christmas on the tree. You know what I'm saying? They probably will. In a posting on the official Disney Park blog, Disney Today released a new piece of concept art showing a scene of the new it's a new holiday scene that's going to be experienced coming to Disney's Discovery Island at Disney's Animal Kingdom. It all begins when you cross the bridge to Discovery Island, finding yourself in the midst of a celebration of winter, handcrafted by the electric community of artists that make the island their home. The village is filled with sparkling white holiday decorations, colorful animal-inspired luminaires line the rooftop. Wire-frame lanterns in shape of beautiful birds can be found perched throughout the area, and during the day, Discovery Island springs to life with a holiday gathering of winter animals realized in the form of life-size artesian sculpted puppets, reindeer, foxes, polar bears, penguins, and more interact with guests accompanied by serenading musicians, surrendering. We give up.
Musicians just wobble around. But they must all be French musicians.
We surrender. We surrender. Surrendering musicians, or serenading musicians, as they create a playful atmosphere and of festival fun. And as day becomes night, the rooftop luminaries and bird lanterns all around Discovery Island bring warm and festive glow to the entire village. At the center of everything, the Tree of Life awakens a series of wintry tales, complemented by a familiar and heartwarming holiday-inspired musical score. Between awakening moments, the Tree of Life continues to shimmer and sparkle throughout the night, alive with the magic of nature and spirits of the holiday. It all starts November 8th. You can read about the new holiday offerings at the Disney Animal Kingdom. Dude, that looks really awesome. I'm excited about that. I would love to come down and just see that. More excited about that than Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
It'll be interesting to see it because this is going to be the first time they do it. So it'll be really nice to see. And all the decorations will be bright and shiny. So although Disney does do an amazing job of keeping their decorations reset for every year. We put out one decoration, or we put out decorations every year, but the sun here just kills everything. So most decorations that we put out in our yard, even for Christmas, last 2 or 3 years before they're faded to absolutely nothing.
No, if they're hard, you should try to go to a depot and get yourself a clear coat spray.
Yeah, some of that stuff will help. I mean, you know, because we always buy we've had the plastic blow molds and stuff like that, and man, they'll fade, and then they get the dryness, and they'll just crack when you try to put them back away. So
that's shame. Several more acts have been added to the Eat to the Beat concert series for 2019 at this year's Epcot Food and Wine Festival. Where are they playing at, John?
American Gardens Theater.
Oh, okay. Is that at the American Pavilion? Pat sent me a big...
Revisit Pat again, yes.
He sent me a big, long text, and he gets all fired up, man. It's over there by the American Adventure in America, Pat, where they're opening up that new American restaurant that you ought to try. Here's the provisional Eat to the Beat performer schedule for 2019. They look like they're all in now, John. There's no open space. There's no TBD.
No, not my favorite band is gone. TBD. Dang it.
Yeah, they were good too. Mayans. POT. That's the name of me, John.
Okay.
You know what that is?
No, not really.
Pretty old thing.
Okay, there you go.
P.O.T. Good. Plain White Tees, August 29th through the 31st. Sawyer Brown, September 1st and 2nd. I like Sawyer Brown. They're a good country group. Oh, Mercy Me, September 3rd and 4th. Grace Kelly. Now, is that the original Jason? That's the one with Fred Astaire, right, John?
I don't think so. I don't think she's going to get up there and dance.
But I'm thinking she will. Grace Kelly, September 5th and 6th. Zach Williams. These are all new. Zach Williams is new. Grace Kelly is new. Zach Williams is the 7th and 8th of September. Lauren Dangle is 9th and 10th. And Jimmy Allen is the 11th and the 12th. So they got all four of these are new acts at the festival. Tiffany, I think we're alone now. Oh, it's 13th through the 15th. She gets three nights. The Allen Betts Band, the 16th and 17th. Everclear, 18th and 19th. Starship, featuring Mickey Thomas. It has to be all about you, Mickey. The 20th through the 22nd. Postmodern Jukebox, the 23rd and 24th. Blue October, 25th and 26th. Mark Willis, the 27th through the 29th. Sugar Ray, the 30th through October 2nd. He gets four nights, John.
Yeah, good for him.
Taylor Dane, Tell It to My Heart, 3rd and the 4th, October. India, which is new. You know the group India?
No, I remember Asia. But
yeah, I don't know India. Maybe it's a new group they formed. They added a fifth member. That's why there's five letters. I don't know. October 5th and 6th, 98 degrees. October 7th through the 9th, Boys Avenue, new October 10th through the, and the 11th. Southern Avenue. So we got the Boyce Avenue, Southern Avenue. They're back to back. They're both new October 12th and 13th. Kenny G's going to play his flute for the 14th and the 15th. 38 Special, 16th through the 17th. I like 38 Special. Baja Men, the 18th through the 20th. Our buddy Caribbean Queen, Billy Ocean, the 21st and the 22nd. Sheila E., 23rd through the 25th. High Valley, the 26th, 27th. Hanson, I know you're a big Hanson fan, John.
Mbop.
There you go. Boop-bop. Boop-bop. October 28th through the 30th. Sheena Easton, the 31st through November 1st. Chris Allen, American Idol, November 2nd and 3rd. Boys to Men, my local group. Two local groups. They got Philly back-to-back. Boys to Men, October 4th through the 6th. And then the Hooters come in the 7th and 8th. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, October 9th through the 11th. Dude, TVD is still there.
They're still there.
Good, November good. 12th through the 14th, you can go see them, John. BB Mock, 15th and the 16th. I have no clue who BB Mock is. They're new. The Spanish Harlem Orchestra is new, the 17th and 18th. And D. Capella, they finish, whoever that is, finishes off the show on the 19th of November. There's a hell of a lot of acts there, John.
Yeah, yeah, and a little bit of everything from what you can tell from yeah. from what 70s, 80s pop to current music, some adult contemporary with Kenny G, some country with Sawyer Brown. So they're all over the place.
And it looks like a great show.
Yeah, it does.
They do a good job with that. I will say that. So
yeah, I miss the show they're doing now with Guardians of the Galaxy music and stuff like that, but I do miss the what was the summer one called, the summer where they had the cover bands basically.
I can't remember, but I know what you're talking about, John. That used to be a good time.
Yeah, it was, but regardless, it's always nice to, even if you don't catch a show, just to walk past there and hear some live music. So
I know Carmen's screaming at us the name of it, the concert. Because I know her and Brian have probably been there many a times.
It's the summer concert series of some sort. So.
Yeah. Disney Riviera Resort is getting closer and closer, John. It's really looking nice. Bet you're excited about staying there.
Yeah, I am. I told you about one of the options, right? Was the tower little one bedroom type deal. So it's going to be a DVC rental. But I mean, they're going to go quick, but they're going to be somewhat low on points, I think, like maybe only 12 or 13 points, but it's going to be a very small room.
Broom closet.
Yeah, basically, and it's definitely only going to be one bed, but nonetheless, it would be pretty cool to just stay in that tower for the Food and Wine Festival if it was just me and Lisa for a couple of nights, and then be able to take the gondola right over to Epcot and be pretty nice.
Yeah, so. As long as it's cool in there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ratatouille Adventure Construction from the air. That's getting closer and closer. My wife can't wait for that. We already did. The airport shop at the Orlando Airport is now closed. The summer 2019 VIP perks at Epcot include dining discounts and guaranteed show seating. We read that last week.
Yep.
So what do we have on the other page here, Johnny?
Let's take a look.
New mango pineapple Dole Whip is at Disneyland, which it looks really good. It'll probably be at Disney World soon. Seems like they do a lot of taste testing out there.
Yeah, and try new stuff and see how popular they are. Yeah, that was another one of the questions. And there's Aloha Isle. Anybody know what they serve there? Yes, of course.
Well, did you see this, John? A Dole Whip souvenir tiki bowl. Pat's probably buying the plane tickets right now to go down to get that. Dole Whip souvenir tiki bowls arrive at Aloha Isle refreshments in the Magic Kingdom. You excited about that, John?
I don't know. I'm looking for that because if it's the same one, Lisa's already got one from. Yeah, it's basically the same one. They've had those at the Polynesian for quite a while.
Oh, Pat probably serves probably all his dinners. He probably eats his soup out of this little bowl every night.
Probably has to fill it for our wallet and my wallet and keys and stuff like that. So pretty.
Well, knowing Pat, he probably eats his soup out of it, but he has to fill it like 75 times to get is helping down. Anyway, we were making our way through Adventureland at the Magic Kingdom today, earlier today, just a few days ago, when we noticed something new at Aloha Isle Refreshment. Dole Whip is now available in a souvenir tiki ball. We're in trouble. If you thought we were going to cruise by without getting one, then you were in denial. Aloha Isle served the classic pineapple Dole Whip, vanilla or swirl. You can get in a float, pineapple upside down cake, or serve straight up. The menu now offers your choice of flavor, served in a tiki bowl for $9.99. Dude, I think I'd rather pay the $9.99 than the $5.99 for the float, just to get the souvenir. At least you feel like you got something back out of it.
Yeah.
It's so cute, John. There are little tiki figures that support the bowl. That's little tiki. He's cool. He's like holding it up. See him, John?
Got work to do.
He's a strong man. He looks like an ant. But now I like it. The bowl is a plastic and very lightweight. Dude, I thought it was carved from classic Polynesians out of wood, John.
You thought maybe it was out of a palm tree or coconut tree?
Yeah, sorry. I thought maybe it was made out of real wood, John. I would never believe for the price they're selling it that it would be plastic. God forbid. The bowl is plastic and very lightweight. It makes a fun souvenir to take home. If only this worked like popcorn refills, we'd be set for life. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Yeah. Can you imagine? An adult whip for $2 all the time.
Okay, if you hate scrubbing out souvenir balls, then we have some good news for you. The Dole Whip was served in this cute Mickey Mini cup, gently placed inside the bowl. The soft serve does not melt quickly, and some will tip over into the bowl, but it's still so much easier to clean. Hopefully this is a trend. I never have to relive the nightmare of scrubbing Orange Bird's sipper cups again. But anyway, how long is it going to take before they also charge you extra for the little plastic insert?
I don't know.
Well, if you want it in the bowl, it's $9.99. If you want us to give the little extra carton in there, it's $10.99. Come on, man. They're leaving money on the table, John.
Mm-hmm.
You got a next story up here, John?
Yeah, it looks like I bet Doug's never done this because this is too kiddy of a thing for him. But the World Showcase Passport design debuts at Epcot. Me and Lisa probably do one of these every 3 or 4 years. On my travels through the nation's World Showcase at Epcot today, I discovered that they had updated the World Showcase Passport. Passport has been a favorite of guests for many years, giving them the opportunity to get their credentials stamped at each of the 11 countries throughout the World Showcase.
I would do that, and don't criticize me. I'm as childish as the next guy.
don't criticize my childishness.
Yes, I'm a man. I'm a child. Stop it.
I think I told you and Dennis a couple of years ago when I did it. Me and Lisa, when we got engaged at Epcot, I took a World Showcase book around in 96 and had all the countries stamp it and say something about our engagement and stuff like that. And then on our 20th anniversary, I took exactly the same one back around and had them all stamp it again. And it was interesting because you could almost think that some of the cast members from the different countries that had stamped it the first time, this could have almost been their children now stamping it on our 20th
awesome,
anniversary.
John.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
You big romantic oaf, you.
No, I know. So, yeah, it looks like they've just got the passport comes in a plastic pouch and contains 11 sheets of stamp stickers, one for each country, an honorary ambassador button, and, of course, the passport booklet.
That's cool, John. I love that they do that stuff. What's the charge for that, John?
I think they were for the longest time $8.95. I think they may be $11.95 now. So,
yeah, well, the price of ink is going up, John, to stamp it, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, here we go again, John. New Casey's, come on. New
what
Casey's,
do they have on it now, Doug?
Just give me a damn hot dog with mustard. I'm good. New Casey's Corner Fried Pickle Hot Diggity Dog of the Month at Magic Kingdom. Do you want fried pickles on there, John?
I can eat, like, fried pickles for me are about the same as an onion ring. I can eat, like, two of them, and it's pretty good, but after that, that's it.
Isn't that the truth? What is it about onion rings? They have, like, the first couple, they smell so good.
Oh, they're delicious.
And then you're over it, like that.
I don't know. It's weird, isn't it?
It
and
is.
And it's not like you're full. It's just, I can't eat another onion. No more.
Anyway, new Casey's Corner Fried Pickle Hot Diggity Dog of the Month in the start. It's the start of the month, which means check out the new hot dog at the corner. We're in luck because we've got a brand new creation to drool over. The Fried Pickle Hot Diggity Dog looks like something we could really sink our teeth into. Are you ready? It's colorful looking hot dog, isn't it, John?
Yeah.
It's available.
Certainly got some color to it.
The Fried Pickle Diggity Dog is available in regular size dogs or the mighty foot long. We opted for the regular size. I mean, come on, man. Eat the regular size. You're eating all this. It's not good you eat a foot long. I love hot dogs, but do you need the extra, John?
The funniest part of this article is the next line. We opted for the regular size dog today for a light lunch. That is the farthest thing from a light lunch I could see. That is not a light lunch.
I mean, I might get
care if it's the foot long or regular size. That's not light.
Now, I might get the foot long to split it with Brenda. You follow me? If we did try one of the ones we do like a regular dog, we would do and split it.
Yeah, but to consider that a light lunch is with fried pickles on it is not a light.
Child, please.
exactly.
The regular dog served with fries is $11.99 or $9.49 without the fries. You go for the fries. Finish yourself off for the day. You know, make it it won't be as light if you add the fries. Let me see here. This site for some reason likes to skip, John.
The dog comes piled high with toppings. Green peppers, red peppers, and green onions stand out among the shredded cheese and chipotle ranch sauce. It's all topped by... there went mine. It's all topped off by a beautiful roll of golden fried pickles. There were three large slices of fried pickles lining the top of the dog. It really is a beautiful sight when you're hungry. If you're planning to try this dog, beware it's got a lot of peppers. And by a lot, we mean a ton. It really should have been called the Red and Green Peppers Hot Dog Diggity Dog. The peppers are a little overpowering. As someone who loves peppers, even I had to pull off a few of them off the hot dog to be able to taste any of the other flavors happening here. Chipotle ranch and cheddar cheese have been featured on a few previous dogs and have always been a winning combination. Pickles were pretty good, too. They were crisp on the outside and juicy on the inside. Sometimes fried pickles can be too soggy or too crispy, but Casey's got them perfect. So overall, this fried pickle is a little heavy on the peppers, but definitely worth a try, especially if you like fried pickles. So,
what's your thoughts on this one, John?
I like red and green peppers, like they were saying, but there's a point where there's too many of them, and this sounds like this might have too many of them. I guess you could have them hold off, you know, only maybe put half on there, and it sounds like it'd be pretty good. But I don't need fried pickles on my hot dog.
Nah, I don't need any of this on my hot dog.
I like a good chili cheese dog with onions on it. That's where I'm at. So,
I mean, once in a blue moon, I'll do a chili dog in the wintertime here. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, I just like my hot dog grilled with I'll put some diced onions on it, like regular onions, small diced onions, a little bit of mustard, and I'm toast my bun on the grill. I'm happy. I don't need all this extra junk.
No, especially some of this stuff. I mean, and a hot dog, I don't know about you because you're a fastidious man, but I don't feel like I'm really eating a hot dog if I have to use a knife and a fork. So, I mean, I really want to just be able to pick it up with a bun and eat it. None of these look like you can pick up with and eat it. You're going to have to sit down at a table and get out silverware. So,
dude, that's why I hate Sloppy Joe's.
Yeah.
Too much work.
I figured.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If I eat a Sloppy Joe, dude, I'll get a fork and knife, cut it up, and eat it. I'm not in the juice running up and down my inside of my arms. You know what I mean? It's just not my idea of fun. Or dripping all over the place. Some people get off when they're eating a cheesesteak and watching the grease drip into the plastic, you know, parchment paper. You know what I'm saying? Wax paper. That ain't me, dude.
And can you see the people waiting for the 3 o'clock parade with one of these, and they're trying to eat it while they're standing over right there by the trash can?
I can just see my brother Tomato sucking his fingers right now. Dude, that guy, I love him dearly, but you tell him he puts mustard and sauerkraut on it. Dude, if you bring him back, he wants like 15 mustard packs for his hot dog. It's like, why even eat the hot dog? You don't even taste it. Dude, the mustard just like pouring out of it. And the same thing with fries and ketchup. Him and mustard and ketchup. Him and his boy.
Condiment king, huh?
Oh, yeah, dude. And it's never enough. As soon as you come back, first words, how you doing? How'd you make it? How much ketchup mustard did you get? Did you get enough mustard? I mean, I feel like the person that goes into Wawa to steal all the forks, knives, and condiments for their week. If you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
What else do we have here, Johnny? New Haunted Mansion merchandise at Memento Mori's in the Magic Kingdom. You got to head over there, John. You got some neat new stuff.
Yeah, saw some new stuff at Pirates yesterday too. So they got some new merchandise at a shop outside Pirates.
Yeah. New entrance area revealed as work wraps up at Disney's Hollywood Studio Checkpoint. You were there. How'd that look, John?
Yeah, it looks about done. It's really getting nice, but all the other Epcot and Magic Kingdom, especially right now, their entrances are a mess. When you drive to Magic Kingdom, the tram now drops you off on the far side of the bridge, on the parking lot side of that bridge that you used to drive under. So you still got quite a walk to get to the ticket or to get to the monorail or to the ferry boat. So yeah, if you're staying in a resort, as much as the buses may be a pain, I would seriously recommend taking a bus, because if you're driving, you've got quite a hike before you get to the ferry boat, then you have the ferry boat, then you've got, you know, so yeah. So
no, it's crazy. The only park that's normal right now is Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, and according to this, guest drop-off areas at Disney's Animal Kingdom will be temporarily moved. Construction for the entrance enhancements at Animal Kingdom will start impacting guests starting today. Temporarily, guests being picked up, not picked off. That's how it's written here, picked off. I don't want to get picked off. Picked up or dropped off. We'll see the dedicated area for the move to row one of the Peacock lot through September. To get to this area, as well as rideshare and charter bus stops, guests will be directed around new fencing erected by the parking lot. Previously, fences had gone up around the tram stop as they started work on improvements and a shade structure for the tram stop.
It sounds like they're doing the same thing as what did I say earlier, where the cast members are retreating or whatever. What the hell did I say?
Surrendering.
Surrendering, yes. They're surrendering.
Well, no wonder they're surrendering. They're getting picked off.
Yeah. holy moly. Maybe Gropey will save them.
There you go. Yeah, all three of these entrances are getting redone. And from what the cast member at the back of the tram told us the last time we were riding there.
That sounds like a murder mystery. What the cast member told me on the back of the tram. It's like the inside job.
It's for the all for the 50th anniversary. So all of the parks are getting ready for my birthday party next year. So
I'm the big 50. You're gonna turn 50 with the Magic Kingdom.
Oh yeah, I'm in 2021. So
yeah, Brenda. Brendan, you were younger than me. I don't see anything else here, John. Really, do you?
No,
just
that's about
the,
it.
The Epcot construction updates is they're finishing off. They're leaving a legacy, removing that. That's one thing I am happy about.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm so happy to see Epcot's entrance open back up. And it'd be nicer to actually have that handle the crowds a little nicer instead of funneling everybody right next to the planter, you know?
Yeah. So. And new candy corn Halloween mini ears headed to sweeten up the shelves at the Disney park. So they look pretty cool. Where if you want to wear candy corn on your head all day, go for it. Hollywood Studios new cast costume construction upstates and Galaxy's Edge, I guess. Did you notice new costumes out there, John? Or it said the 3rd, which was yesterday, so.
Yeah, no, I didn't see anything on Thursday when we were out there, so.
Yeah, so I don't know, John. That's about all I have. Again, I want to thank everybody who wished me a happy birthday. I did have a great birthday. My wife, my mother-in-law, and my family took care of me as usual. I'm 52, John. Can you believe I look this good for being that old?
Oh, isn't it amazing, Doug? Isn't it amazing?
I mean, I don't look a day past 29, I don't think. 29 times 2.
Yeah, 56, 58.
58, John. I'm going to get you to surrender if you really mean 56.
Or pick off.
But anyway, no, our guy, thank everybody for that. I'm happy for you, Johnny. Everybody head over to John and check him out. He's going to be a new pirate. He's going to dismantle and take Captain Jack right out of that ride for us. Our plan's coming together, John. Slowly but surely, we're finding a way to get rid of him.
Now if I can get Doug into the pirates with me, then we'll have to figure something out, right?
Yeah, dude. We talk to the guy on the back of the train. Maybe he can get us into the... It's an inside job. We got to do Ocean's 13 for getting rid of Captain Jack Sparrow from the pirates. What do you think?
That sounds like your plan.
And also, this is just for you, Carmen. What do we need? One more person for the fantasy football?
No, we had the last person. So Nathan Trent, who is actually one of my DizDad buddies from my Facebook page, and he started listening to our show a couple of years ago. So he's a friend of the show now and part of our page, and he volunteered to take that last slot. So we've got a full 12 members, and we are set for the season. What's that?
Who dropped out?
Nobody dropped out, but Tommy sent me a message wanting to know if we could get Evan in, and Evan's a good friend of the show, so I put two new slots in for Evan, and then I wanted to keep the teams even, so I wanted one more team.
Oh, you have to keep it even.
Yeah, play head to head.
But did you ask me? I didn't want Evan in. Oh, I didn't hit the.
Well, this is my baby.
I didn't hit the mute button. I didn't mean that. I'm going to cut that out of the show, John.
I was thinking that myself. How many dang Patriot fans we got now on this thing?
Dude, I mean, come on, it's bad enough. You know, we got that. We got way too many from up in that New England district. You know what I'm saying, John?
Who we got? We got Pat, Tommy, Judith, and now Evan. So yes. 4 out of the 30, a good 30% of our league is Patriot fans. So.
You know, I got to get some more Philly. So how you doing? We're gonna kick your butt. Nah, but anyway, now I'm glad to have him in. It's a bigger league makes it hard. It'll make it a little harder to draft now.
Yeah, and it should be competitive. I think 12 is still – we're still at a low enough number, and everybody here is really good friends, so we can smack talk a little bit, and nobody's going to get your favorite phrase, get butt hurt.
Yeah.
A little too sensitive. No, it's all in good fun. So.
100%. Tommy tweeted me, I mean, Facebook me, I forget which one it was. I was reading so many, but yeah, I forgot all about it. He had to remind me. I share a birthday with Tom freaking Brady.
I share one with Stephen King, yeah. Which makes a little more sense for me.
Well, it's a shame that Tom has to share his birthday with a better looking guy, doesn't he?
No.
I mean, it's just embarrassing for him. I know it is. Me, Tom, and Lou Mangiello. What a happy couple that is.
There you go.
Yeah, me and Lou share a birthday, too. But anyway,
yeah, it was Tommy's response to Nathan for joining our league is, Tommy said, what team do you like? Or what NFL team do you root for? And Nathan had put the Chargers, and Tommy said, oh, never mind. I forgot. If you're not a Patriots fan, it doesn't matter. Something of that sort. So.
No, we got to take Tommy down again. All I need to say to Tommy is E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles! But anyway, no, I'm looking forward to a good season. I can't wait. I'm going to let you go play on Pirates. We held you over a little longer than we thought. You should have texted me, John, or did you?
No, I'm fine. I still got 3 hours, so I can take a shower real quick and head out there. So.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Go see our buddy John over at Pirates today. He's all butthurt because he has to wear the red sticker on his tag.
Yeah, I hate that thing. At least my name tag has my Steamboat Willie pin on it, so you can tell right away. Like when I get introduced to other cast members, they ask me where I'm transferring from. They don't act like I'm a rook.
Listen, I've been on the job now for a while, man.
Don't be
hazing me, man. I just got rolled over.
It's the same thing, Doug, as when I started over at Animal Kingdom. Because of my age, my gray hair, and everybody I meet thinks I'm somebody coming in as a coordinator, as a leader, or something like that, instead of just a frontline cast member. So, and what are you doing over here? No, I'm just a dingus, just like you. So yeah. Don't worry about it.
They think you're OG, and then they find out you're not.
Exactly.
That's awesome. I'm glad you moved up. I'm glad you not moved up, but I'm glad you moved to somewhere you wanted to be. I know you wanted to do Pirates or Haunted, and you got one of the two you wanted.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say real quick, too. Talking to everybody over here. Now, this is called Adlib. It's we talked about that last week. Adventureland and Liberty Square. Once I'm trained at Pirates, it seems like I can put in to get trained at Haunted Mansion. Once I'm trained there, I can put in to get trained at Liberty Square, or at the Jungle Cruise. Yeah. And so my goal, you know, within 6 months or 9 months would be to have a 3-day week where I could work Pirates one day, Haunted Mansion one day, and then Jungle Cruise one day. Now, wouldn't that be a weekend?
That would be a good time, John.
Yeah, it would.
So. I would love to heckle you as my skipper on the Jungle Jungle Cruise. Oh, my God. Tell us a joke, funny man.
Come on, that wasn't funny at all.
Come on, Mr. Stand-Up. Let's see what you got.
Oh, God. I have to make sure I'm not doing Jungle Cruise the day you're here.
To surprise you. Yeah, come on, funny guy. Tell us one of your corny jokes. I would love
you
that.
You would do the whole and say it 3 seconds before I did the whole rip my jokes off, right?
So. Oh, dude, I'd have to have I'd watch every Jungle Cruise skipper for the last 20 years just so I know every joke you're gonna tell. but no, go have a great day today, John. I can't wait to hear more about your festivities in the parks. I'm glad you had a good time. Oh, the blue milk. How'd you like that?
Actually, that was it wasn't milk. It was more like a pina colada with a blue dye to it. It wasn't milk at all. I didn't even taste any dairy. It looked like maybe a frozen slush drink, and it tasted like a white pina colada with some blue dye in it. And I got mine with rum. It was absolutely fantastic, actually. I really liked it.
Rum probably cut the sweet off of it and made it perfect.
Yeah, and because it wasn't, like I said, dairy or anything, it was okay to drink in the summertime. You know, I was definitely afraid, man. Who wants, milk while you're walking around in Florida heat? So, yeah. But yeah, like I said, it was more like a mixed drink. So yeah,
that's awesome, John. I'm glad you had a great day. You and your son deserved it, and I can't wait to hear more stories from you at Pirates this week. And,
all right, sounds good.
And we apologize. We're trying to do Food and Wine, but this has been a crazy few weeks with getting the four of us together. So we might end up doing it with me and you, me and Bob, or whatever, John, just to get it out there. Because I keep promising to look like a knucklehead, which ain't hard.
Yeah. But. And it is now. Now it is August, and that dang festival starts at the end of this month, so we really need to get it done.
Yeah, so we'll talk I'll talk to you off the air, but we'll set this up one of these days because Bob's getting anxious. He's chomping at the bit to get it done. So.
All right. Sounds good.
But have a safe trip into work. Everybody be kind to one another, and we will talk to you real soon. Say goodbye, John.
Let's say, I don't know what they would say, the Pirates, but avast-y.
Okay. Hey, maybe. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. That's it, guys. We're going to pay our tabs, hop off our stools, and head on home. But we'd really appreciate you guys listening. If you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Also, if you could, follow us over on Twitter at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy6767. And you can find us all at our website. It's all in WDW. Everybody be kind to one another, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.